Well, I think we're going to come up one at a time so we can keep the little ones in the seats a little more in order there, so that's okay. What a blessing to be here this morning. God is truly worthy to be praised. I had to say amen to years I spent in vanity and pride as we sing that this morning, because I wasted so much of my life. I want to open with the scripture, but before we do that, can we pray, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that there is no way for any man to be right in your sight or to come to you but through Jesus Christ. And we thank you this morning that it is by that grace and power and that name that I can stand here this morning. And I pray that you would bless the hearers and bless my words, that we might give you all the glory and honor that you're due, and that Satan would receive none. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 is a theme verse for my testimony, I believe. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And then down in chapter 3, it says, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." I can truly say today I can only stand here because I was wicked, I was in sin, I was deceived, I was brought up without knowing God. And somehow, I don't know why it happened to me. I don't know why my mind was open and my heart received it, and my friends and my peers and my family members didn't. But I can say today, blessed be the name of God. I got saved. I got delivered from the grip of Satan. I was born and raised in the very grip of Satan. So much wickedness and lies and deceit were poured into my life. I believed lies from the beginning. I was taught lies in my education. I was taught lies in my home. We were deceived by television, by music, by radio, by the philosophies of the world. And by the time I was a 16, 17-year-old, I was just a vicious, filthy sinner, full of everything the world had. I can't really speak of the details of those things. It wouldn't bring God any glory. But just to let you know, I was exposed to so many of these things, and I had a concept of God. I knew there was a God. I believed there was a God. Who was He? What was He? Was He any different than Santa Claus? I really didn't know. I knew there was something. People talked about God. There was a punishment for bad, and there was a reward for good. But I was so confused with all that it really didn't matter. But I did find pleasure in drinking and reveling and partying, and my life was full of lies. I literally loved to tell lies. I was a thief. I was a blasphemer. My mouth was so filthy. I spoke such ungodly words. And I guess it was sometime in my teens, I watched one movie that literally changed my life. Not for good, but for bad. I watched this one movie. I guess I was in an identity crisis. And as a young man, as a young person, I was searching for an identity. And I watched this one movie, and overnight, I became a cowboy and a country music lover in one night from watching one movie. And I had my big hat and my belt buckle. I had my pickup truck and my big boots. And I began to not just identify with this music, but I literally worshiped this music. I worshiped the people that sang it. I memorized the lyrics. I just can't even begin to tell you how much I love this music. And this music was such a part of my life. As the Bible says, Christians are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns. We literally spoke to one another in country songs. It was that foolish and that dark. And as my love for the worldly things continued, I can remember driving home and not knowing how I got there. Just by the miracle power of God in mercy, I could fall in my bed stoned and drunk and get up the next morning and go to work and not even remembering the drive home. Just a miracle of God's grace. He truly was faithful to me in my wickedness. Well, there was a time in my life that I went through a terrible accident that did cause me to realize that I didn't have control of my life anymore. And though I began to wrestle with control of my life, I realized that this incident showed me that I had no control of my life. And there was a law of reaping and sowing. I started learning this without knowing the scripture, and I was a product of that. When I ended up getting married, I fell in love with a young lady, and I got married, and I told her I'd never get married when I met her, and I told her if we did, we'd never have children. And so as we got married, and it was just maybe a few hours after we got married, and by 6 months into that marriage, we were so sick of each other, and we hated each other, and we said no more, we want a divorce, and we spoke that foul word, and we were planning on getting a divorce. But my wife was raised in somewhat of a Christian home where they knew the truth, and her mother loved the Lord and taught her the scriptures, and there was some fear of God in her life at some points in her life, and her mother would witness to me. Her mother was the first bold Christian I would say I really ever met in my whole life. Where were they? And her mother began to share the gospel with me and invite me to church, and you know, I would go to church and see people praising the Lord and crying and being touched by God. And, you know, I'd never seen that before. And people really, you know, being touched by God. So it provoked me to say, wow, these people have something that I don't have. You know, my bottles would get empty and I would be empty. And, you know, my pleasures would run out and I would search for more. But I knew there was something more, but I didn't know where to find it. So I just continued in my sin. But there it was, one night, somehow after coming under some conviction, I don't really remember a scripture, I don't remember a message, but I came under some conviction and I was brought to some guilt and some amazement and wonder, is there a God? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And there in my wife, in my bed, my dear wife, who wasn't living for God at the time, she was living in rebellion as I was. That she knew enough about God and the gospel that my wife just answered my questions and shared the gospel with me that night. And somehow that night I prayed a very simple, general prayer. But I touched God. And God came down and touched me. He was drawing me and he was asking me to come and be his child. And I yielded. And God saved me that night. And, you know, if I look back to that point, you know, I wouldn't give you much for that kind of salvation today, the way I got saved. But I tell you, it was a starting place. And I did one thing, just like the Bible says, the grace of God brings salvation. I began to open my Bible, and I began to read it. And this word is truth. And never did I read a book that spoke to me like this book. And as I hungered and thirsted for God, and I thank God for a pastor I had that was a very conservative-minded man, and he esteemed the Word of God and said, this is God's Word, and you better believe it over man, over me, over anyone. So I began to read the Word of God, and I knew there was more, and I sought God, and God began to show me clearly through His Word that I couldn't have my alcohol anymore. I was trying to justify to have a little social drinking or whatever. God showed me that wine is a mocker. One morning in my bed, God illuminated these scriptures on drunkenness and drinking. And I parted with that. And God began to put His finger on our life, on our music and our literature and our television and things like that. And we could have done most of those things in the sort of church we were in. But God said, no, I want a clean life in you. Because, you know, I came from a background where I didn't know the Scriptures, and the Scriptures were real to me. I didn't have a bunch of presupposed thoughts on it. It was just the Word, and it spoke to my empty heart that was hungry for God. And God began to show me His truth. And it was a glorious time to grow in God, and I just sought the Lord. There was a time I sought God with all my heart, and I wanted more, and I believe God so filled me with the Spirit one night that after that point, the Word became so illuminated to me, and I began to have the boldness to go and preach the gospel to my friends and family and lost folks. And it was just a beautiful time, and one of the most glorious things of my salvation, that as I grew in grace, there was an incident in my life where I had been a thief and stolen a bunch of hardware from my dad's hardware store, and I kept it for myself because I was going to be starting my own business. And so I hid these things away in my home. But shortly after that, we had a burglary in our home, and all of our things were stolen. But the things in the attic were left alone that I had stashed away, my stolen property. And my wife looked at me and she said, it's because of that stuff in the attic that this has happened. And I said, wow. So I went to my pastor and I said, I've got a question I need to ask you. And I did it kind of in third person. I said, a friend of mine recently became a Christian. And before he was a Christian, he was a thief. And he has a bunch of stolen property in his possession now. What should he do with these things? And my pastor at the time turned to a verse in Ephesians and said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands. And so I asked him, well, does he have to give it back? And he said, he just needs to stop stealing. So I walked away from that meeting excited that I could keep my stolen property. But then as I sought the Scriptures and I read a story of a man named Zacchaeus, and I realized that I couldn't keep those things. And so I went to my earthly father and I confessed my sin and I showed him all this hardware and merchandise that I had thieved from his store. And he was angry and he was vicious and he was mad at me at first. But then I looked at my father and I said, remember, I told you I've become a Christian. I'm born again now. Jesus changed my life, Daddy, and I can't keep this anymore. And both me and my dad began to cry, and restitution was made. And I gave my dad above and beyond what I had stolen, just in case there was some things I missed. And I tell you, heaven opened up on my life. And then from that incident, me and my wife began to purge our life of all of our stolen property. And we began to think back on things we had shoplifted. And we began to write checks to department stores and take things back to people that we had stolen from them. And God did a wonderful work. Salvation came to our house. And it was glorious. And as we learned more about the Lord, we were in a conservative evangelical church, but as we began to have children and God turned our heart toward our children, we saw that the basic church system was not conducive for family life. It was more or less in the business of tearing families apart. So we began to look at the churches we were in and realize that they were not producing godly young people. And there was such immodesty and worldliness there. God showed us, and you know, we would say, well, maybe we've got our eyes off of the Lord, and we would try to reset everything and go back with a worshipful heart. But these things were so obvious, and they were violations of God's precious Word. And so we began to wrestle with leadership and saying, what about this? And just hearing men explain the beauty of God's Word away. And we just got to a point we didn't know what to do. We're sitting in the midst of the evangelical church, having a real salvation, wanting to go on with God, wanting to see more people brought to the faith. But yet we had a system that was so needy and we didn't know what to do. Though there were some good things, but there was a deficit of hearing the truth of God's Word in completion and obeying it. And somehow in that prayer of desperation, we were living down in South Louisiana at the time, and God sent us through someone else this big plastic cassette tape holder with a tape set on teaching on the home and family. And when we listened to it, we were so blessed. It was the answer to our heart. And we knew that there was more truth here than we'd been hearing. And so we began to seek the Lord. And that's how we gradually, rapidly moved out of that realm into a more scriptural church. And we are so thankful today to be a part of a church that wants to obey God and wants to obey the Scripture. Though we're poor and needy and though we've got lots of areas to grow, but God has been so gracious. And my heart today, what God's doing in my life today is I've got my oldest, I have 11 children. My oldest is 18 now, and my youngest is just an infant. And as I've got this big span of years in my children, I still see myself so needy of God's grace and instruction. I need the brotherhood. I need the body. I want my children and my wife to be in an atmosphere of godly influence where we can learn authority and submission and those sort of things. And so that's been the reason why we feel like God has replanted our lives here to Pennsylvania. I fought moving up here with every stitch I had, but God won and He got me here, and we're so thankful. We love you, brethren, here. We've been so blessed our time here so far. We've just been so ministered to and so encouraged, and we just want to go all the way with God, want to open our lives up. I thank God for you brothers that are bold enough to speak in my life already and have given me correction and instruction, and I open my life up to more. I need to learn. Help me walk with God. Help my family and my children walk with God. That's our desire today. And I just thank God that this same burning fire that I met 20 years ago when I became a Christian, it's still burning as hot, if not hotter, than it was. I remember a lady told me right after I got saved, I was so excited and praising the Lord, and she said, "Oh, you'll calm down after a little while." Well, I'll tell you, bless God, I hadn't calmed down yet. And I'm not planning on it in Jesus' name. I want to win souls to Jesus and glorify His name. God bless you all. Thank you for allowing me to share what God's done in my life.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.